Today we're going to cover red cell abnormalities. Now, some of this is going to be a review of what we've done before, so it is on there. So I'm not saying anything I don't say on here, but remember, we just keep adding. So when we look at a blood smear, we have to look at a well-stained peripheral blood smear. And next week, you start making peripheral blood smears, and they have to be made just right so that you get what's called a feathered edge. And so it's not just a big glob of blood, because you need a feathered edge in order to separate the cells out so you can view them. And the best place to view where cells are to describe morphology is just at the edge of the feathered edge, and it's where the red cells are just touching each other. And they're not overlapping, but they're touching. So what we're going to talk about first is there are ways that cells distribute themselves. This is abnormal to see agglutination on a sample where we have an anticoagulant. So if you see agglutination, that is abnormal on a smear. So agglutination indicates that we have antigen and antibody. And so when we look for agglutination, we're looking for overlapping red cells that are stuck together. And there's going to be more than one or two. They're going to be globs. The best way to view those is on 10 power, probably, maybe 40 power, so you can see a large amount of the field, and you'll see lots of agglutination if it's there. So it indicates antigen and antibody have interacted. Not normal in a regular old blood smear. So this is a picture then of agglutination in one of our smears. So these indicate autoimmune hemolytic anemia, where we're making antibodies against our own red cell antigens. So not normal. Okay, another abnormal distribution that you might see is called rouleau. Rouleau formation occurs, and it looks like stacking of coins. Rouleau occurs because the surface charge on the red cell has changed, and it's usually changed because we have too much protein in the sample. So these are people that maybe have multiple myeloma or Waldenstrom's, where they have too much IgM. So it's an immunoglobulin protein problem, and the surface charge is altered in the red cells, so they start to stack up on each other. So you have to have at least four red cells stacked on each other to call it rouleau. You can't just have two. Okay, so this is rouleau. So in a real patient, rouleau looks like this. So this is abnormal when we see the stacking of cells. So it indicates to us probably a protein problem in the patient. So multiple myeloma is probably the most common. Okay, so that's abnormal distribution. If we have abnormal shapes, if we have some normal, some abnormal, the term that we use to describe that is poikilocytosis. So poikilocytosis means abnormal shapes. And if you have a variation in shapes, poikilocytosis is the term we use. So we abbreviate it because nobody can spell poikilocytosis, right? So we call it poik, P-O-I-K. So on a smear, if you're reporting it out, you could put some poik, poik 1 plus, poik 2 plus, and they would know what that meant. Okay, this first abnormal shape is called an acanthocyte. An acanthocyte is a little bit smaller than a normal red cell. Now, remember, most red cells are pretty much 7 microns in diameter. If we get extremes, we can look at other sizes, but usually a normal red cell is 7 microns. So these red cells are a little bit smaller, might be 6.2 or 6.5 microns. But the other thing that's abnormal about them is they don't have a central pallor. So they have this red center, just a red middle. They don't show the central pallor. Then the thing that distinguishes them are these spikes that are on them. And the spikes are not regularly distributed around the cell. They're all over. And some of them have knobs, and some of them are real sharp. It's also called, in lay terms, a thorn cell, because it looks like a thorn. But these cells are acanthocytes. This is not really an acanthocyte yet, because see the central pallor in it? These are acanthocytes. Okay, acanthocytes occur in certain disorders. probably one that the oldies know something about, hopefully, is A-beta lipoproteinemia, which is a lipid disorder. But it can occur anytime you have lipid distribution problems in the red cell membrane. So an acanthocyte. So here's a patient that has some acanthocytes. Now this mirror's not too good. It's got other things going on. But if you see cells like this that have the sharp point, these are the start of acanthocytes. So we would say this person needs to be looked at a little more fields, but you can see some of them are just transitioning into acanthocytes.
How common are these? Because I swear I saw a couple of these the other day.
We'll distinguish it between an echinocyte in just a minute. They're not that common. And remember that you have to be in the right area to evaluate the morphology. So if you're going to go out on the edge and look at all these weird cells, it doesn't count. Okay, target cells. Okay, target cells mean they look like a target, but they do have a scientific name. It's called a codocyte or a leptocyte. Okay, codocytes then, if you look at this normal red cell, they're about the same size. They can be a little bit smaller, but now you see another dark area as well as the light central area. And so you have a change in the membrane to volume surface area. And so this cell then has this central condensation of hemoglobin in it, and it looks like a target. So these are called target cells. The condition where these show up is anytime you have what's called a hemoglobinopathy, which means an abnormal hemoglobin. So any problems with hemoglobin is called a hemoglobinopathy. So there are things where we look for target cells. If you see target cells, we think hemoglobinopathy. So this is just kind of a comparison of target cell types. They don't have to be all the same type. Here's our normal biconcave disc. So it has this central pallor in the middle. If you get other shapes of cells, then when you put them on a flat surface, they all look like target cells, even though they might have different shapes to start with. Remembering, you're looking at one dimension when you smash a cell down on a slide. So they can vary in types. We don't classify them as ones, twos, and artifacts. We classify them as codocytes, and that's all we say. Okay, what could cause a codocyte? When you're drying your smear, after you've made a smear, you have to allow the blood to dry just naturally. You don't put it in front of a fan, you don't blow on it, because what you're doing is changing the moisture content. So you can create these artificially, and you don't want to do that. We want them to know if it's in the patient. And in the patient, it's either a decreased volume in the cell itself, or it's an increased surface membrane problem. And that creates a codocyte. Okay, here's a picture then of a real person that has codocytes. So they're not really hard to tell, are they? Okay, so when you see that, you don't want to just see one. You want to feel through the whole slide, but there's enough there that you'd say that's real. It's not an artifact. Okay, another one that we'll see that's abnormal is a pear-shaped cell that has kind of one pointed end. And this is called a dicryocyte. It's easy to remember because cry and tear is a good way to remember it. So it has this blunt end, and it's usually pear-shaped. So here's our normal cell again. These are pretty typical. So if you were to draw a tear on a person, it's kind of what it'd look like, wouldn't it? Okay, we want you to use the real terms, not the slang terms, okay? So you can remember teardrop, but when you put the answer, put dicryocyte. Okay, so here's a nice dicryocyte. Okay, what's this right here? What's this right here? Lymphocyte. And we try to put that in so you can tell the size of a what? Normal red blood cell. Okay, if you see dicryocytes, what it tells you is that the body's not very good at making these red cells. And it probably got made in the liver instead of the bone marrow. So what's the term that we use to describe that?
Extramedullary
hematopoiesis.
So what causes the actual teardrop shape?
extramedullary hematopoiesis. It's not made in the bone marrow. It's made in the liver, and it's not good at it. Okay, and bite cell. Now, we don't call them bite cells. We call them degmocytes. But it looks like a bite cell. So as a red cell grows up, it goes through the spleen. And in the splenic cords, it has to go through an area that's about 2 to 3 microns in diameter. So that red cell has to kind of deform in order to get through that little space. So as it deforms, if it has anything in there that's abnormal, as it goes through the macrophage system, those things are going to be taken out. And so macrophages can come up and take out these abnormal inclusions, and then the red cell membrane will heal, and what you have left is a bite. So this is just a bite cell. So it looks like somebody took a bite out of it. So it's a degmocyte. So if you're looking on here, where can you see some bite cells? Okay, here's one. This one kind of got here's another one. Here's another one. So as they go through there, they're having things plucked out of them. So those are bite cells or degmocytes. Okay, sickles. Yeah. Are they what? Okay, if you have all of these cells that are that way, yes, because they're going to get taken out of circulation, so you don't have enough red cells. So you become anemic. They don't live as long.
So the cells can't just reform?
They do, but then they're going to be smaller. They're going to be less pliable, so when they go through the spleen, they can't make it. Do you have a question?
Oh, is that the same thing as we talked about?
Okay. And glucose-6-phosphate deficiency can also, it's G6PD deficiency, can cause bite cells, but I'll show you that in a minute. Okay, was there another question?
Yeah. You talked about a few abnormalities, but are any of them pretty common that we all prepare in a general population?
In a general population, they're rare, but in a hospital population, they're not that rare. Okay? So you're going to see these things commonly.
On the one with the cryocyte where you said it's from extramedullary hematopoiesis, does that occur in adults also?
Uh-huh. If your bone marrow can't respond, your liver's going to kick in.
You mostly see it. I remember on the first day we talked about it being a backup. The liver is a backup.
Right.
Are they normally in the newborn when it's from the liver, or are they still...
The liver is not a major organ in the newborn, the bone marrow is, so the liver's stopped. So you shouldn't see it in a newborn either. Okay, these are sickle cells. So the proper name that we call them is a drepanocyte, but you can call them sickles because that means more to a physician than a drepanocyte. So either way. Okay, the sickle, the typical sickle is this. So it looks like a sickle that you use to cut weeds with or wheat with, not a bicycle, okay? Spelled a little bit different. It has to get to this stage, so it's going to go through some variants before it gets there. So it'll start to form like this, where you get polymers, then it'll form like this, and then the final stage will be like these thin ones. Okay, this is caused because of an abnormal hemoglobin that's called hemoglobin S. So it's an abnormal hemoglobin that causes it. So this is a patient who has sickle cell disease. And this is one that's transforming. This is one that's transforming. Here's one that's transforming. And this one's all the way. So once they get this far, they can't go back to normal. And it's usually a decreased oxygen tension that causes them to do that. If they're about like this, they might be able to go back to their normal shape. But once they get like this, they're not normal. So as they go through the spleen, takes them out. Patient can't keep up with the number of red cells.
How long does it take for them to transform?
Depends on the oxygen tension. You can do it artificially in a couple of minutes. If they have the abnormal hemoglobin. Okay, echinocytes. Now, echinocytes sort of look like a acanthocyte, but they're not abnormal. Echinocytes indicate that the cell doesn't like where it is. So it could be that you put it on a glass and it didn't like the pH. It could be you put it in too high of a salt concentration. It doesn't like it. Sometimes in patients, if they have kidney disease and they have a really high waste content in their blood, they will do this. So we have to make sure we don't create it artificially again by the way we do our smears. We want to know if it's in the patient. But the difference between this and an acanthocyte is this right here. These have a central pallor. They're usually the same size as a normal red cell. They have the central pallor, and their spikes are not quite as long, and they're more evenly distributed around the cell. So they're called echinocytes, which in Greek means sea urchin. So here is a smear, and you can probably find one or two of these in everybody. This one didn't like where it was. So this is an echinocyte right here. But you can see the central pallor. Don't what kind? You mean old red cells?
Yeah.
No. No, because they won't last. You won't see them out on the peripheral blood smear. If they're senescent, they're going to be gobbled up by a phagocyte. Okay, here's another one. Okay, another abnormality is called a keratocyte. A keratocyte is also called a horn cell or a helmet cell. So this is the helmet cell or keratocyte. So you see that it has 2 points, one here and one here, one here and one here. This is a horn cell that looks more like a Martian or a Mormon, whichever one has horns. So these are both the same kinds of things, though. They're keratocytes or helmet cells. And what's happened is that usually there's a clot formed somewhere, and as a clot forms, there's these little thin strands of fibrin. It's like putting a piece of thread there across the vessel. And as the red cell goes flipping through there at really high speeds, it just cuts it. And so it cuts off these littler pieces, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but it leaves this bigger piece. So these are helmet cells, keratocytes, or horn cells. So if you were to look at a real smear, where that's happened, this is a helmet cell. So it's gone through and the fibrin's just chopped out some of the cell. And it's resealed so it doesn't leave its hemoglobin. So that's a keratocyte. Okay, a kinesocyte. Kinesocyte means that you've got two areas of hemoglobin concentration, and then you've got two central pallors. So it's this cell right here. So it looks like that you've had a red cell down here, and you just kind of picked it up and then smeared it. So it's got two central pallors and a hemoglobin concentration clear around and through the middle. So that's called a kinesocyte. So it's abnormal hemoglobin production, again, because it's not a normal surface size. It's not a normal concentration of hemoglobin throughout the cell.
After the keratocyte, it kind of looks like bite cells. So how do we distinguish?
They don't look like bite cells. I'll show you some different ones. Okay, a bite is just a little tiny piece out of the membrane. Yeah. It's just a little tiny piece. It's not half of the cell gone. Okay? But we'll show you some others. Okay, an elliptocyte. It's also called an ovalocyte. So these are cells that look like footballs. So they're ovals rather than being round. So these, there's a normal. These are elliptocytes. And they can even get so long and skinny we call them pencil cells. So these are just variants of ovalocytes. Now, probably the most common disorder where you see ovalocyte is where you have a person that makes them normally as their own cell. It's called congenital or heredity ovalocytosis or elliptocytosis. It's just the way they make them. So you look at all these cells, They function just fine. This is really common in different animals. So llamas and those kind of animals, this is the way their normal red cells look. So they're called ovalocytosis or valocytes or lymphocytes. Okay, a pycnocyte. A pycnocyte looks like, to me, an ice cream cone. But it's one end of it has a concentration of hemoglobin. So you see here, this is the whole cell, but most of the hemoglobin is concentrated at one end. And so it's called a pycnocyte. So again, it's some sort of hemoglobin abnormality where we see them. These are pretty rare. Okay, a schistocyte is also called a schizocyte. And it's the little piece that's left after you snap through part of the red cell and leave a helmet cell or a horn cell. These little pieces that come off are called schistocytes or schizocytes. So they're fragments of red cells. So this is a schistocyte. So what it indicates is that you probably have intravascular coagulation going on. So you have these little strands of fibrin that is formed inside of a vessel. And it's so sharp when the red cell goes through, it just cuts it.
Can you say one more time what it indicates?
Intravascular coagulation. And they're fibrin strands that form across a vessel. It's just like putting a rope across two trees and you run through it. Okay, a spherocyte. A spherocyte is a cell that's abnormal because it's not a biconcave disc. It's round like a sphere. So when you press it down on a slide, it looks like it has no central pallor because it's round and you've smashed it down. So it's not a biconcave disc. So it looks like it's hyperchromic. It's really not hyperchromic. It looks that way because it doesn't have any more hemoglobin. It just has it in a different shape. So they appear to be a little bit smaller, and there's no central pallor. So they're called spherocytes. And again, some people produce spherocytes normally, and they have what's known as hereditary spherocytosis. So they make spheres instead of biconcave discs.
Do they have symptoms of anemia because there's no as much surface area?
They have symptoms of anemia because the cells are not flexible, and as they go through the spleen, they get taken out, and they only live 45 days instead of 120. So you can see these are spherocytes, right? It also happens if you get an autoimmune hemolytic anemia where you have antibody attached to it, and then it starts to snip it off as it goes through the spleen. So can you tell these look a little bit smaller, and there's no central pallor? Okay, a stomatocyte. Stome means mouth in Greek. So stomatocyte is a mouth-shaped cell. And so instead of having the round central pallor, these have kind of a slit. So when you smash them down, depending on how you smash them, they look like this slit or a mouth inside of the cell. So the problem here usually is a problem with the lipid bilayer. You get an alteration of the lipids, so it changes the membrane concentration. These are seen in liver diseases quite a bit. Or you can have hereditary stomatocytosis and make all your cells like that. So this is a person who had hereditary stomatocytosis. So if I showed you that, could you tell they're stomatocytes? So they're really kind of cute.
They function more
than they can. It depends on the spleen. Okay, you got your clickers out? So which of the following indicates abnormal red cell distribution? How many we got voting today? Should have about 29. So which one is it?
C.
C. Distribution is rouleau or agglutination, right?
Yes.
Rouleau, it's all shape.
Okay, if cells vary in shape, what term do we use? Okay, what is it? Wow.
We got that one.
Guess we're not asked that on the test.
No, I think you really should.
Okay. If we have abnormal size and we see normal cells and abnormal sizes, we call it anisocytosis. We can't spell that either, so we call it aniso. So if you have aniso and poik, you know what that means. So anisocytosis means we have different sized cells. So if you have a cell that's bigger than about 8 microns, it's called a macrocyte. If it's completely round, it's a round macrocyte. If it's oval, it's an oval macrocyte. And yesterday we talked about something that makes oval macrocytes. What was it? Huh? Yeah, but what was the deficiency?
B12
or folic acid deficiency will cause oval macrocytes. Round macrocyte can be a reticulocyte, because remember, a reticulocyte comes out a little bit bigger. So it depends on which one it is. Okay, so if I pointed to that in that slide, could you tell me that that's a round macrocyte? Do I have to have arrows to show you? Not many bloodstreams have arrows to point as you're doing your work. But I have arrows. Technically, you have to stain a reticulocyte, right? But if it had what color to it? Bluish. B, polychromatophilic erythrocyte. This one has, I don't see too much blue. Maybe a little right here. It could be a reticulocyte, but we'd have to stain it. Okay, remember that we have smaller cells too. So if they're less than about 6.2 microns, they're going to be called microcytes. Not microcytes, microcyte. Okay? A microscope, microcyte. No. Microscope, microcyte. Okay? Remember that. Unless you call your scope a microscope. Okay, so smaller than normal size. So if I showed you this slide, why do I put this in here? So you can tell size, right? What's this? What's this? Okay, so we see quite a few microcytes. Okay, a cell that's larger than 8 microns called a what? It's greater than 8, better be a macrocyte, hadn't it? Okay, remember when I say blast, it usually means they have a nucleus. So we're talking about peripheral blood. So don't get that confused. Okay, if the cell has normal coloring, we call it normal chromic. If it has normal size, it's called normal acidic. So normal chromic, normal acidic. If it has not enough coloring, it's called what? Hypo. And there isn't really a hyper. Some of them look like they have more, but it's impossible to stuff more hemoglobin in there. So they look that way. If we have two populations, we call it dimorphism. So we might have normocytic, normochromic. We might have microcytic, hypochromic. But in this one person, we're going to see two populations of cells. So this is a dimorphic blood picture. So on the one hand, we see cells that look pretty normal size, pretty normal power, but all of a sudden we see this other population who don't look too good. What's this?
Well, that's a defective
Knizocyte. Okay, what's happened to this one? It's got too much pallor. This is a platelet that's sitting on top of it.
How can you tell that between the target cells?
Because it's much colored, much more colored. And you'd see more than... This is probably a target cell.
Is that a somatocyte right there, too?
This? Yeah. I wouldn't think so. It's not quite. And you'd see more of them. They're just abnormal. So you're seeing two populations of cells.
If you have a normochromic and then hyperchromic that are together, could that be like the sign of like a recent like toxicological event like these guys recently?
It's a sign of what we call sideroblastic anemia, but you don't know that yet. Okay. It is a sign, but right now we're still memorizing.
So would most people be dimorphic?
Nope. Okay, if you don't have enough color, then you're hypochromic. So here's hypochromic. Can you tell this is hypochromic? But you also see that it's usually microcytic at the same time. So they kind of go together. Microcytic and hypochromic. This poor cell looks pretty pale, doesn't it? Okay, so you'd know that. Okay, we also have polychromatophilic or polychromic, same thing, where we have a tint of blue. Why do we get blue colors in our red cells?
RNA,
because they're younger, right? So if we see polychromatophilic red cells, it tells us they're probably retics, and they've got this kind of blue color. Now, they're not going to be that glowing blue, okay? You got to hallucinate polychromatophilic. And this isn't a real good stain, but these are normal colors. These are polychromatophilic. So if you see a larger cell, look for polychromatophilia because they're probably reticulocytes. So it means they've come out early and our reticulocyte count is going to be elevated. So what is a normal reticulocyte count approximately? 1%. Because about 1% of our cells are being replaced every day. So if we see 3 polychromatophilic and maybe 4 in a field of 30, you could figure the percentage, couldn't you? It's going to be high.
And this is how you distinguish between that and a macrocyte.
Okay, these are macrocytic because they are big. Okay, but they're polychromatophilic as well. So we call them polychromatophilic erythrocytes because they are retics, probably. But yeah, you could call them macrocytic if you wanted. Okay. That's kind of in the way, but how much of the red cell has a central pallor normally in a peripheral smear? Okay, 1/3. Should be your answer. Okay, so those are abnormal colors, shapes, distribution. Now we're going to look at things that occur inside of a cell that are called inclusions. We're going to start with what's called basophilic stippling. So in a red cell, you shouldn't see any stippling. Stippling means these little punctate marks. So this is fine because you see little tiny dots. This is coarse or what we call punctate basophilic. So these are basophilic stippling. Basophilic means it takes the blue dye. So they're kind of a blue color in our red cell. Okay, this is not normal. So if you see basophilic stippling, you report that out. And I call it BS, but you can call it basophilic stippling. And we'll know what it means. So usually these are, if it's fine, it's probably polychromatophilic at the same time. So look for the diffuse, fine basophilic stippling. If it's this type of basophilic stippling, there's been a hang-up as it's been being matured. And these are probably blobs of RNA that have kind of coalesced together and stained. So here's a cell that has basophilic stippling. So if I didn't have an arrow there, could you see it? Okay. What?
Is that regular? Not fine.
Is that coarse or fine?
It's coarse. Okay, fine is almost like polychromatophilic. Now, what's all this stuff? It's stain that didn't wash off very well. So you got to be careful. This is probably platelet, and this might be a platelet there. So basophilic stippling is going to occur everywhere, okay, throughout the whole cell. Okay, this is a really neat one. These are very, very rare. We found one patient that had tons of these, and we have pictures out the yin-yang of Cabot rings. A Cabot ring is what's left of pieces of nucleus, so it might be a mitotic spindle, and it can be round, or it can be a figure eight inside of the cell, but they're so rare, we thought they never occurred, and then we found this one patient that had them, took tons of movies and pictures, could hardly stand it, because none of us had seen one in real life. But they do occur. So this is a red cell, this is part of the nucleus, probably the mitotic spindle that's still left there. And you can see it in platelets too, so it's not the only place, but we usually think of it in red cells. So it's called the Cabot ring. Just means that the cell's having a problem dividing. Okay, this next one is called a Heinz body. Okay, the only time you can see a Heinz body is if you stain it with a supravital stain. So you can't see it on right stain. So it has to be stained with a supravital stain. We can use creosyl blue, we can use new methylene blue, and we can use crystal violet stain. There are lots of supravital stains, but it will not stain with a right stain, so you're not going to see it. So these are Heinz body, and what it is precipitated out hemoglobin. So this is a supravital stain, so it's brilliant creosyl blue. And this right here is a Heinz body. And it's always found on the peripheral or on the near the membrane of the cell. Now, I guess you could have one here if the membrane's on top, which it would be, but usually you'll see them on the periphery. This is reticulum in a reticulocyte. So a Heinz body is more round. It's not as dark blue as this purple reticulum that's staining. Okay, so this is condensed or precipitated out hemoglobin. Okay, there are lots of different kinds of hemoglobins that are abnormal. We mentioned two that are normal, A and F, right? Okay, but this is C. This is not a normal hemoglobin. And so if you have two abnormal genes for hemoglobin C, you precipitate out these crystals in the middle of the cell. So many times you can see the ghost cell around it. It's not really well defined in some of them, but you see this crystal. This crystal is not going to circulate very long because it's got to go through the spleen. So these are found in hemoglobin C disease, usually. So two abnormal Cs. And they're called Washington Monument cells. But you call them hemoglobin C, okay? But it'll help you remind you. Washington Monument, it looks like the Washington Monument. Okay, so here's a real one in a patient that had hemoglobin C. It's not quite as pointed, but they're hard to find. But they precipitate out. This is abnormal hemoglobin. Okay, this is also an abnormal hemoglobin called hemoglobin H. And when you find hemoglobin H, you have to stain it with a supravital stain, and so we use brilliant creosyl blue to see them. So they look like a golf ball. because there are so many hemoglobin H's that are precipitated out that it looks almost like a golf ball when you look at it for real. Okay, this filament stuff, this is RNA that would be in a reticulocyte. But you can see the golf ball as well. So here is hemoglobin H. This is reticulum in the hemoglobin H. But see all the cells that have hemoglobin H? Okay, so it's an abnormal hemoglobin. So only see it in a supravital stain. Okay, this is hemoglobin SC. So an abnormal S and an abnormal C. Yeah?
What would tip you off to do the supravital stain?
Patient's going to be anemic. I guess it decided it wanted to quit. So you saw the SC? Mm-hmm. Those are called birds in flight. So it looks like a wing of a bird. Okay? So we'll pick up there when we get on Monday. Must knew it was getting time for us to quit.
Yeah, that was